This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is iFanboy Pick for the Week, number 790, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you who are trying to make sense of it all and doing the right thing, and me, specifically me this week. Hey, welcome to iFanboy Pick of the Week, episode 790. I am Josh Flanagan, and I'm here with me. That's right, you haven't had a solo show in a while, and you've got one now. So I haven't done this in a bit. We'll see how it goes. I have had fun doing it in the past, and unfortunately for people who hate this, I got positive feedback, and God, that feels good, doesn't it? Anyway, we are iFanboy, or I am right now. I'm standing in for the Wii. And every week, there is a stack of comics to be read. There's a big stack this week. One of us picks the one they like best, and we call that the pick of the week. I'm going to keep saying the plural first person because it doesn't sound right the other way. I'm going to talk about the book, other books, the patron pick, some listener mail. I'm going to assign all of the patron powers this week. I plan to have fun, and afterwards there's nothing I can do about it whether you do or not. So there will be spoilers about the books here. Exercise some caution. This is not a normal show, by the way. If this is your first episode, you're like, so it's just this one dude talking? No. This happens like every couple of years or something like that. And I'm guessing it will have a slightly different pace as I struggle to breathe and fill in all the space with my talking. Okay, so let's get started. I put a lot of books on my list because I figured, you know, I won't have to wait for anybody else to go on and on because it'll just be me. Pick of the week this week is Superman Red and Blue number 5. This is that anthology series spun out from Batman Black and White. And when this started, there was the idea is that instead of black and white, everything is written is red and blue, because I don't know if you've seen Superman, but he's red and blue. And I liked all of the stories in this. It is rare to get... Nah, that's not true. I did. I liked them. I liked several of them a lot. So there are 4 short stories in this. And the first one is Fetch from Judd Winnick and Ibrahim Mustafa, both of whom have been on my Talksplode podcast. And so there you go. I'm indicating my inherent bias right there. This one is a story about crypto and how young Clark is feeling surly and alone and sad, as many adolescent boys do. And then another ship crashes, and it turns out that in there is a dog from Krypton, who is, of course, Crypto, and they form a bond, and there's a little explanation that Crypto was actually launched first, and he was a science experiment, and Superman's horrible dad shouldn't have let him bond with the dog because they had to send him away, and blah, 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 and whatever. He finds the dog, and he's really happy, and Ibrahim draws a very, very cute puppy. I thought the colors on this one worked really well, and my heart was touched by it. It's very easy to do a Crypto story and make me feel something, because I love dogs, and like they dogs are like this sort of version of a like a pet version of Superman. They represent all that is good and full of heart and makes you feel joyful, and I think that's why it's less corny than it probably should be when you pair Superman up with a dog. Of course he's got a good dog, because dogs are inherently good, and they want to help people and do the best and make other people happy. Isn't that what Superman does? I don't know. Next up after that is a story called De-Escalation from G. Willow Wilson, drawn by Valentin Delandro. Something like that. In this, it's a really fun little story, is Clark Kent, or Christopher Reeve, Clark Kent specifically, goes into a little bodega mini mart store in Metropolis, and someone comes in to rob him, and he can't turn into Superman, so he, you know, talks him down basically, and saves the day, and the kid who was going to rob them, you know, makes a better decision, and he leaves, and the girl who's there, you know, gives him a little Superman doll as a reward, and it's very cute, but again, I thought it was nice. The thing is about Superman is that you can do things that are kind of saccharine, and it works as long as it's sincere. Like I think it's all about the how you handle that level of sincerity, while still being human. Like, yeah, sincerity plus humanity. After that, we have Your Favorite by Josh Williamson, also been on the show, and Chris Sprouse. And this is a story about, it's just like a little conversation with Jimmy Olsen, where some lady, I don't remember who, is asking you, like, what's your favorite? Also, they drew this Superman looking a lot like Christopher Reeve, too. And I love this this trend of going, no, that's who we want to draw as Superman. It's the right thing to do, always. And they're asking Jimmy Olsen, what's your favorite Superman picture? You've taken so many over the years, what is it? And it's just a little delightful conversation, and the way it's laid out is fun, and the last picture is sort of a bad up the nose intentional selfie. It's not a selfie, they didn't use that because it was taken with an actual camera, but it was cool. The last story we have is Red Sun Blue Dot by Mark Buckingham. And Mark Buckingham, longtime artist, came from, I think, 2000 AD, and most people know him now from Fables, and he wrote and drew this story. The story part of it, you know, it's his origin, or it's a story about his flight away from Krypton as a baby until he gets to Earth, and it's fine. But it is gorgeous to look at. It's some next level sort of J.H. Williams kind of stuff. I think he's been around longer than J.H. Williams. Probably taught him a thing or two. But it is gorgeous, and it's it's really nice to look at in all these double page spreads with this really cool border on the top and bottom that is sort of these red and blue Superman things that I would totally put along the ceiling in my office. I would be fine with that. Actually read a lot of books I liked, and I had forgotten about this. And so when I had sort of had my sets, I'd had my sights sort of picked on what it was I was going to pick, and then I saw this again. I went, oh, right, this. I liked every part of this. And when you get an anthology that you like all the stories on, that's actually something quite special. And I think the thing about this Red and Blue series is that I think it's gotten better over time, but it's always been something a little bit different. And it's fun to see people do these Superman stories. And I really enjoyed, what a great cover, too. Oh, Amanda Connor cover. Yeah, it was fun. I think maybe it was the thing that I needed this week. Maybe this just had to do with what I needed, what did I want out of life, all that. And I nearly forgot that Daniel Warren Johnson story about how Pa Kent has to make sure that he tells Superman that he loves him and that he's proud of him, and how that is the most important thing, which I believe and then how that radiates out into the world. It's gorgeous in intent. It's gorgeous to look at. It is a beautiful piece of parenting advice. And I mean, that's actually probably the best thing in the whole issue. So thank goodness I didn't forget that. Shall we move along? There was, and I know this is going to be crazy to everybody listening, there's a new Moon Knight number one. I know. It turns out that they've got this character, Moon Knight, and every single time you see him, he gets a reboot. And I guess maybe that's because he's got multiple personality or something, dissociative disorder. It's in here. They acronymed it. This is in a continuity of sorts for Moon Knight. This new book is from Jed MacKay, whose writing we have been enjoying a lot lately, Connor and I, when Connor is here. And he's not, but I don't think he would argue with that point. I think he would say, yeah, I've been enjoying that too. Art by Alessandro Capuccio. Yet another Italian. Is anyone going to talk about the Italian takeover of the American comics market? I mean, it wouldn't really matter. This seems to be a continuance of where Mark Spector was when he showed up in Avengers a little while back. And in that story, it seemed like he was trying to help Khonshu take over the world, but instead, like, he saved it. And now we have this version of Moon Knight is he has a congregation. Like, he's sort of like the head of the church of Khonshu. He's the high priest of Khonshu. And he always sits around when he's not out fighting. His hang around outfit is that sort of white suit with the white hood with the moon on it that came out of the Declan Shalvey Warren Ellis run, which is an incredibly cool visual for sure. And it's interesting because it's the idea that, like, he protects all the people, not unlike Daredevil, you know, in the area where he is of the church. I'm not sure, but there's vermin. Remember that Spider-Man villain Vermin? Those guys are over there, some vampires, and he's protecting the people. And then we also learn that, like, oh, he's totally not into Khonshu. He's like, but I am his fist. I am indebted to, I have to do the work, even though he's horrible and is locked away somewhere. But, you know, it's my job. And then it turns out there's another guy who comes along, and he thinks that he's not doing a great job with Khonshu. And it turns out that guy is the, whereas Mark Spector is the right hand of Khonshu, this guy is the left hand, or he called himself, he's the Hunter's Moon. So he has an outfit just like Mark Spector, but his hood is black. And he has a white circle on top of it. And I guess he's the other fist of Khonshu. And I guess that's the deal there. I don't know if that character existed already. I thought this was well written. I thought the character work was fun and everything, but it's so tiring to constantly get new Moon Knights. It must be for him too, because he's constantly new Moon Knights, I believe. But it was fine. I don't know if I will keep reading this. It looked really good. It wasn't particularly funny or anything. I don't know that it needs to be. Yeah, so that was a thing it was a comic book that happened. I'm glad I read it. I'm not glad I read it. It's just that Moon Knight gets exhausting, I think. Let us move along to Superman and the Authority number one. This is Grant Morrison and Mikal Janin, I don't know. Didn't know this was coming. I was surprised that what we got in here was sort of very straightforward Grant Morrison. He you know, wasn't trying to be completely out there. I don't think he's trying to do that ever, but it was very easily followable. And so what we got here it seems to be an alternate universe sort of Superman. And the first sort of scene that we get is Superman in 1963, November 1963, in Washington, D.C., walking down the hall with Jack Kennedy. And when I see this, I wonder, when people see November 1963, do they immediately know what that is? Or is that just a person like me or like Connor who know that? But, you know, savvy watchers will know that Kennedy was shot on November 22nd, 1963. And so this was the thing that happened right before he died. And basically, Kennedy tells Superman, like, you know, you're the man of tomorrow. You have to do what you can to help make the world better. And, you know, that sort of gives him his mission. And then, of course, that's solidified by the fact that that Kennedy gets killed. And we see, like, a shot of Superman up on the moon, you know, cheering on, I guess, who was Neil Armstrong, like, jumping over hurdles. I'm not really sure. Then we cut to the current time, and again, remember, this is Superman versus Superman and the Authority. And does anyone remember Manchester Black? I think he's been around a lot, but he originally showed up in, I don't know why I remember this, but it was Action Comics 777, written by Joe Kelly, and it was this, he was like a stand-in for the Authority, but I guess since then he's become more of a canon who is on the Authority. But Manchester Black was supposed to represent sort of the stuff that Warren Ellis was doing over in the Authority and with this sort of British guy who has Superman-like powers and can sort of play on his level, but just doesn't have the, he's just too dark, and he's too cynical. And this is Superman saying, I need you to help. I need you to come and you know, this Superman's losing his powers, which is actually kind of interesting. Like, as he gets old, like, they're just kind of going away, which is a thing that never happens. And I think this is the question, like, is Superman immortal? Should he be? What happens when he gets old? Does he keep his powers? I like this as an idea that as he hits his middle ages, like, his power's going and he knows it. Someone's about to break through the Phantom Zone and he needs Manchester Black to save him. And it's this, like, Manchester Black's like, sawed off. I don't want anything to do with this. And will he or won't he come back to help? And he does, apparently. So there's only two characters in this for Superman and the Authority. So I don't know which Authority it's going to be. There's no Apollo, Midnighter. Oh, man. The city guy. The doctor. Jack Hawksmoor. There you go. That'd be fun. So I don't know what happens. The art in it, Mikkel Janin, I thought really nice stuff. He's a great artist. There's not one sexy lady in the whole thing. He has this really good looking sort of future Superman where he's got, you know, nice, he's got a little stubble. He's got gray at the temple. And his uniform is kind of like a t-shirt thing. But it's a good design. It works really well and I like it. Moving along, we have Captain Marvel number 30. I almost made this pick of the week. And I actually don't think I read the issues before it, but this is the last issue. I think I just missed the one before it, because I keep forgetting that I'm reading this book. This is the last issue in this Strange Magic story, and it's by Kelly Thompson and Jacopo Camagni, another Italian. Basically, it's some time travel stuff going on, where Carol has to stop Enchantress and Namor's son from taking over the world in the future. So she's dealing with Enchantress now, and Enchantress has to help her, but without her knowing that she's got to go forward to hurt her son and magic and this trickery all about. And I liked it a lot because, you know, at this point, Kelly Thompson's had a really long run with this character of Carol Danvers. And Carol Danvers is pretty powerful. I don't know if she's Superman level, but, you know, she gets things done. And so they've taken her out of her element here, and they've taken away her powers because she has to deal with magic. And she's not good with magic, just like Superman. And, you know, and it's fun. It, you know, she's on her back foot the whole time. And then Rhodey shows up and they get back together. And it's very sweet. I think the art was okay. It was pretty good. It did the job. It didn't blow me away. But it was what it was supposed to be. I think the character work was exactly where it needed to be. It was pretty goshy. It was pretty full of good old superhero stuff with these kind of things. And then at the end, there's like that bitter note, that Spider-Man thing where she was basically trying, the thing that she did was she took the magic away. She found something and took the magic away from Ove or Ove, whatever it is, Namor's future son. And basically that's like blinding him. Magic is just gone from him. He can't get it forever. And Stephen Strange is like, yeah, you did a good job. People are going to be pretty pissed at you about that. She's like, and are you part of that? And she's like, ugh. And he shuts the door on her. So, you know, she kind of burned a bridge there trying to solve a problem. And what we have here is this backup story written and drawn by Jamie McKelvey, featuring Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel. And Captain Marvel needs a pick-me-up. She's not feeling great about things. And Ms. Marvel walks her around town and talks to her about things. And it kind of, conversation kind of goes where you expect it is, and she gets inspired by the end. But it was really lovely crafting of it. Jamie did the whole thing. And I liked it. It was pretty heavy on the text, which is funny because there was a couple of books this week by artist writers who haven't published a whole lot of writing, and they were really text heavy, which I think is interesting because you always think that the writer is going to be like, oh, now I get to show everything. I don't have to tell it. There's a lot of telling here, but it was written well enough so that it didn't bother me. Normally you run into a wall of text on a comic book page and you just want to run for your life, but it worked here. It was pretty good, and I enjoyed reading it, and it was good to see Jamie back on this character. If you remember, maybe you don't, but this sort of costume design that she's in now and the one that's in the movie, you know, Jamie McKelvey designed that, and he designed the Ms. Marvel too. So, you know, he gets a chance to sort of really run with both of those. And I liked it, and I found it inspiring and delightful. We've got Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, number 2, by Tom King and Bilquis, or Bilqui Evely. I really wish I knew how to pronounce that. I feel like I should know. Anyway, so this weird Supergirl story, right? I wanted Connor to be here. He's like, are you reading this? So I'm asking you at home, like, are you reading this? Are you checking this thing out? It's the strangest little series. And I guess this is only the second issue. But it's this peasant girl from an alien world is on a revenge mission with Supergirl, who went to another planet so she could get drunk on her 21st birthday where there was no yellow sun. And it's very strange. But they're basically like on an interstellar space road trip. And I loved it. I had so much fun reading this very strange book. I've never liked a Supergirl book in my life, but I like the contrast of who this Kryptonian is compared to Clark Kent. You know, all the good things about him, you know, at the core, but a very different person. And it's super enjoyable. And the prose, the way that the girl talks is, you know, it's a little melodramatic and over the top, but it works just right. And again, there'll be another example where we talk about that where, like, it doesn't work. And I don't know what that is. It's like the magic element that makes silly fantasy speak work and not. But this was really fun, and it was really well done. And it might have the Tom King thing where you don't know what's going on, and then it comes together, turns around. But it actually feels incredibly straightforward. You know, it's like Midnight Run. Or it's almost on that way. There's only 8 issues in this. You know, it's not a huge mystery thing. I don't know. I don't know what I'm reading right now. Where's this going to go? What's it going to be about? I'm just sort of along for the ride. And it's fun. There's a little question about what Supergirl's powers are, because she's supposed to be away from the sun, but she's still kind of powerful. I guess it hangs around for a while. She has to teach the girl how to wash her hands. And that's funny because most people do know how to wash their hands, as you can understand. But it's really good. I finished it and I thought, wow, I didn't expect to think about this book ever again. And I am, and I'm enjoying it. Also, there's a dead dog in it. They kill Crypto in this. So I don't know if that's points deducted or points awarded, because I don't, you know, before we were talking about Crypto and he makes everything feel good. And in this, it makes you feel terrible because there's a dead dog here. It's very sad, but it's done with reverence, I suppose. Actually, this artist draws a really good, sad, sick dog. It's the perfect artist for what this story is. And I kind of can't wait for the next issue. So that's very cool. You're thinking, oh man, I can't get enough of this. How can I get on board? How can I be a person who supports what you're doing over here, Josh? How can I make sure that you are not the person who does this alone anymore? And it's to keep up those patron, to keep up the patron memberships coming, because then Connor will stick around. Because if he goes and it's just me, this is it all the time. This is what you get. It's going to be, yeah, I know. I'm thinking about it too. And it's not what you want. Anyway, so you can go to patreon.com/ifanboy and you can help. You can help contribute to this thing and help us keep doing it and keep it going. I've said it and I'm going to keep saying it and I'm going to be completely sincere about it. It means the world to us. It is such a motivator to make sure that we come out and we do a really good job. It's the thing that says, I think that I can do this show by myself. And it's very late at night. It's very. I waited too long. Connor's good to have around because he makes sure I do things on time. Otherwise, I put things off. And so you'll keep him around, but you'll make me want to come here and do this and have fun with it and sort of challenge myself to do a good job and make sure people are having fun. And I'm terrified that you'd be like, oh, that was awful. Don't ever do it again. But so there's stretch goals. And because of those stretch goals, we have unlocked shows like the Patron Pick and, well, it's not a show. The Patron Pick, the Patron Powers on this show, the Talksplodes, the Booksplodes, the Mediasplodes, all of the YouTube stuff is going back up. On YouTube, on the video show stuff is going back up on YouTube for your enjoyment. There's the monthly patron hangouts. There is the patron Facebook group and the patron Discord server. I mean, that's a lot, right? That's a lot of stuff that didn't exist before there's Patreon. So that's pretty rad. We are looking at our next stretch goal and we're changing it. I'm not ready to announce what that change is yet, but the next stretch goal is not going to be the G.I. Joe cartoon episode one at a time. I know some of you are very sad, but many of you are very, very happy about that. The barbecue show coming back in video form is still the stretchy stretch goal. If we ever get there, we'll deal with it. You can also go to ifibonacciathreadless.com. You will find there are currently 8 t-shirt designs. We start with t-shirts, but they can go in many things. I bet they have boy shorts. I don't think boys can wear boy shorts. Can I guess they can. They're just not cut correctly is what I'm getting at. But I bet that's a thing you could put them on. Or notebooks or bath mats. You can put your feet on our big Tom Hanks head. No one wants that Tom Hanks shirt, by the way. So you can go to ifibonacciathreadless.com. You can see that stuff. They make good products too. That's nice about it. There are absolutely more coming. They're in process. There's stuff coming. You can go to ifibonacci.com/support. There was a direct donation link for PayPal. If you don't want to deal with any of that other stuff that just came before, you just say, hey, I like the show. I want to show you that. And I want to participate with my cash. Can you tell I'm making it up without Connor here? And then finally, you can go to ifibonacci.com/Amazon. You will find a link to buy the books that we talk about on the Booksplodes. You will always find a link for the pick of the week and the music on the show and a general link for Amazon if you have to go there and have, let's say, for example, that you need joint care daily chews for your pet, for your own little household crypto. You get yourself on a subscription to those. They send them to you every month. And that way you make sure they get the glucosamine they need. And so their hips stay healthy. Well, let's just take this one further. You're trying to keep your dog healthy with that supplement. But also you're like, how can I help my favorite comic book podcast? Well, buddy, I got news for you over at ifanbro.com/Amazon. That's a place where you can do that. Let's get back to these books. There's a lot that I put in here. So the next up is Shadecraft number 5 from Joe Henderson and Lee Garbett. Formerly of Skyward, a series that I liked an awful lot. And in this one, we get an idea about what this story is now, where this girl finds out she has shadow powers and her brother was in a coma. And then we find out that she's manifested the shadow, which is him. But what we found out at the end of the last issue is that their mom also has these shade powers. And we also found out that the artist Lee Garbett, who is wonderful, cannot figure out a way to differentiate between the middle-aged mother and the much younger daughter. And you have to figure out which one is wearing the purple jacket, or otherwise you can't tell them apart at all. That was a criticism. There's some double crossing. There's some twists that took place in the last issue, and it resolves itself in a sort of way at the end of this one. And there's a heisty break-in thing, and you get to see them use their powers in action, and that's fun and all. And this sort of family comes together as we wrap up this sort of first arc of the book. They call this book one, and it's enjoyable. I think Henderson writes really good characters, and Garbett, notwithstanding the sort of thing about comic book artists and drawing people at different ages, is a great artist. And there's a lot of fun that happens in this with light and shadow, because it's about shadows. And now the family's like on the run or something. They're spies, or I don't know, whatever the hell they are now, but the government's after them or something like that. Because that's what happens in books like this when you have superpowers. And it's probably what would happen in real life, or no one would notice you. I feel like if I developed superpowers, just nobody would notice it. And I would be like, oh, I guess I'll just keep going to work. Thor Annual number one, written and drawn by Aaron Cooter. And this is another example of a guy. I can't remember reading a story that Aaron Cooter wrote, but I have read many. I've read many that he drew, and he's a good drawer. This was very heavy on the Ren Faire language. Not so much Thor speak. There's a bit of it, but there's big chocks of, like, they say well met in this like 100 times. Like, it's some nerdy Dungeons and Dragons stuff. And I was like, get on with it. But at the same time, it was beautiful. And Hawkeye shows up in it, even though he's got dumb glasses, kind of doesn't look like Hawkeye, but he's fun. It's sort of like a year after War of the Realms is over, and they've all come to have a party over in, I think it's Alfheim. That's where the light elves live. And then a bad guy comes along and tricks them. And then we've got this really cool kind of throwbacky art stuff where we're drawing Thor around the time of his appearance in the Marvel Universe. That sort of original Kirby, Thor and Loki and Mangog shows up. And it's a beautiful bunch of art, and even the coloring and production changes. And it's great. There is a lot more tell and don't show in this, in the first part of it. And again, I just find that so strange that, you know, the artist has a chance to do their thing finally. And they're like, I better put a lot of words in this. And I guess that's because they don't get to use them all the time. But it just seems like you can draw like this, man. You don't need too many words. And I mean, you have to have some, obviously, but it's almost like the better a comic book is, the less you need. But those are the huge word bubbly texts are fine sometimes and not other times, but when they're full of like, good evening, Lithy Feather One, and most well met All Father Thor, I'm ever drop of the, and you, oh, just stop it with this nerd shit. No, I enjoyed it, but I had to work to enjoy it, and I had to find the things about it that I enjoyed it. The art was a delight. I think the concept was pretty good. I think the execution could have used a little more experience. That's where I am. Not upset that I read it. And here we are. Over in, I was going to say, I don't know what you call the alien world. I was going to say Nostromo world or the universe of Weyland-Yutani. Alien number 5. This has become like a new alien book comes out from Marvel. And I get very excited about it. It's Philip Kennedy Johnson and Salvador LaRocca. I gotta say, not a Salvador LaRocca fan. We've talked about this lots of times, but he does great books. Like when it feels like when he shows up on something, it's gonna be a book I like. And I've kind of forgotten that I'm not into him so much. But you know, he's making good choices, or they're putting him on the right books or something. But you know, it works totally well for this book. There's another twist in this one where you think one thing is going to happen, another. The father has decided to finally protect his son, and it feels like he's been away from his son the whole life, but it turns out there are other reasons, and the aliens are always there in the background. It's kind of the right amount of, like, there's a story going on outside of the story. You know, it has to do with a family drama and the fact that they're on this spaceship or space station with a bunch of aliens around is sort of only part of it. And I also really like Bishop in this, that Lance Henriksen sort of character who, you know, he's an android, and they kind of talk about what those guys are like. There's like a resentment towards the androids in these movies and stories for some reason. Like no one just kind of likes them. It's almost like because there's like a person and it's an artificial person, and you can let out, you can just be mean to them, and you can let out your frustration on them because they're not real people. And you know, I don't know, there's something really interesting about that, but I thought that was handled really well here. Like, this feels like a good alien story. I don't know if it would have made like a great alien movie or anything like that, but if they made like a high quality alien miniseries, I think this would work really well as it. But as it is, I really look forward to when I see the new issue coming out. I'm like, yes, this is great. And it still continues to be. And that is all for the books that I'm going to talk about this week. I came in lighter on time than Connor and I would have together. But that's because I didn't have to listen to his quote-unquote opinions. I told you about the patrons, right? So we understand that the patrons help keep the thing going. Well, every week, you get to vote on what the patron pick for the week is going to be. So you all say, I want this book, and then we tally up the one that has the most votes, and I believe it was a relatively close call between several books this week, some of which I've already talked about. And the one that get the most votes is the patron pick. And this week, the patron pick is Blue and Gold from Dan Juergens and Ryan Sook out of DC Comics. And this is the return of Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, or Gold Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. They argue about that a lot in this thing. It's a limited series, one of eight. There seems to be at least two DC books this week that are miniseries, and they're telling you they're miniseries, unlike over at Image, where you can never quite be sure. And this, you know, this is the getting the team back together in a way. You know, it's the same as if you had read any of the Heroes for Hire books where Luke Cage and Iron Fist get back together and, oh, we're really good at this. The sort of beginning conceit is that Booster Gold is flying around and he's live streaming. And as he is doing so, you see the comments from the people on the different, from the people watching. And some of them are like, go you. And some are like, this guy's lame. And someone's like, I hope he gets killed. And Booster Gold is on his way to save the Justice League, who have been captured by aliens who are floating above, I guess it's Metropolis. And they need help, but there's no one available. So Skeets is like the Alfred to Booster Gold's Batman. He goes and he finds Ted Kord, who is talking to his dead dad at the cemetery about how terrible he is. And Skeets come along. He's like, you got to help. And he's like, well, what about the Justice League? He's like, they're going to try to get them. They're already captured. So he goes in with the what's his bug called? What's his big flying bug ship called? I forget. Well, that gets destroyed. And I think what's nice is that Booster Gold is this like super annoying character and nobody likes him, but Blue Beetle does like him. And there's not like, it's not really conflicty. They sort of bicker about who gets to be Blue or Gold first. But other than that, like, they work together and they like it. The little twist here is that they rescue the Justice League and Booster Gold is like, this is it, man. They are going to invite us in and we're going to be in the Justice League again and it's going to be great. But they invite, Blue Beetle in and not Booster Gold. It's like, we don't want that guy. That guy's terrible. And so Ted doesn't tell him. He goes, oh no, they didn't want either of us. And then they go off to be on their own adventures. You know, it's got a, what age is it? I forget. It's got an 80s feel to it and 90s, but like not in the bad way. It's got all the good things. That's what Dan Juergens is. He's a guy who does great comics that feel like they're from an earlier era, but not in the bad way. These feel like superhero comics felt. And I think they're really, it's really fun. And you've got Ryan Sook, who's, you know, he's a massive talent. And he did all of the art in this book. And he probably won't be on it for a long time. But we've seen him a lot more lately over the past couple of years. And I think that's been really fun. You know, these are two fun characters. And it's fun to spend time with. I think, you know, visually, you know, they call the book Blue and Gold. And it just works. These two characters just work together for some reason. And I really enjoyed it. I don't think it was like amazing, and I'm not like a super fan or anything, but it's fun. And I think the one thing is like a bugaboo of mine. It makes absolute sense that Booster Gold would have a scheme where he is live streaming what he's doing so that everyone can see him and therefore they can contribute to his Patreon. And like, who's out there hawking their Patreon? It's like the worst, right? You're just trying to enjoy something or whatever, and he's like, hey, send me money. What a dick. Anyway, but I hate, it's my pet peeve is I hate a social media feed in the middle of a story. It totally makes sense here, and it should be, but I just, like, I don't want to read fictional social media. It's annoying. Comments are annoying. There's just comments here. Then the other thing that happens is, like, none of them are called the thing they are, so it's like face smash, and none of the companies, the services, the whatever, or what they're actually called. So it, you know, it's all like the fake names for it, and I was like, just call it Facebook. It'd be so much easier if we just did that, please. But they do keep shutting the feed off and on, which is kind of funny because there's times where he's like, hey, don't use my name. He's like, it's okay, I shut it off, and then they turn it back on so that they can stream it. And you know, the people would sit around watching. I would 100% watch superhero battles if they were live streaming. So you can't do that. I enjoyed it. I'm gonna read the next one. So yes, I am gonna stick with it. Ratings is, let's see, 3.75 stars. Edging on to 4, but I don't think I'm quite out of 4. 3.75 stars. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. High on the late 80s, early 90s gosh scale, and the best part of that era, not the worst part, with very high quality art and fun dialogue. I should probably go four, but I'm not going to. I'm sticking with it. I mean, sticking with it, but I'm sticking with the four also. I'm also reading the books. That's going to be fine. So that is your patron pick. Every Wednesday, if you are a patron, you will get a chance to vote on the book that you want to be pick of the week. Or you could take part of the, not pick of the week, patron pick. And you can take part in the conversations that happen on those communities we saw where you all try to game the system. But we know. We're on to you. Don't, you're not, hey, buddy. You're not getting over on one with us, but you should vote. Everybody should vote. It's a fun, don't, your comic book review enfranchised. And you shouldn't take that lightly. It's one of our, it's not a constitutional right. It's not even a human right. It's a thing you can do if you give us stuff. So think about it that way. Another thing you get is you give it the $5 or higher level, you will be bestowed with a patron power from us, or in this case, me, and I am going to do four patron powers all on my own, and I didn't leave this to chance, so I wrote some things down just before I was about to start. I hope that helps. I don't know, but you don't want me fumbling around with nobody to cover. That's not a thing at all. Okay, so first up is Jeff. Jeff's power is he didn't bother to put his last name. No, you shouldn't have to put your last name. Jeff can make artificial things real. So I keep thinking about this in terms of food, but let's say everything, and then if it gets out of control, I won't have to deal with it. But for example, I may have thought of this while I was trying to buy vanilla. And I was like, well, I want vanilla extract, but it's much more expensive than the imitation vanilla. So you could make that real, or maple syrup. You could buy the crappy syrup and then turn it into maple syrup, or like maybe that's that wax fruit that's on tables like in IKEA, and then you'd make that into real fruit, or people have like plastic geese on their lawn or whatever. You can turn those into real things. So you can make artificial things real. That's what Jeff can do. Now, Brian Mulholland, named after a famous drive in Hollywood. Actually, that's spelled differently. Brian Mulholland can tell you your future from your record collection or music collection, however it is that you compile music for yourself. He can take a look over to see the records you have or the playlist you've got, and he can tell you your future from it. He can tell that just by what you're listening to. It's amazing. Tory Gordon can make livestock fly. So, you know, when they say, yeah, when pigs fly, well, when Tory shows up, those pigs and sheep and cows will fly, not in a dangerous way. We don't want to scare them. They have the ability. We can fly now. Now, this is a problem for farmers. Clearly, this is a problem for farmers, but this is, it doesn't matter, because if you see a sheep merrily gliding through the air, it's going to bring somebody joy. It's bringing me joy right now just thinking about it. So, Tory Gordon can make livestock fly. And finally, we come to James Valentgoed. I feel like that's a typo, but if not, it's a pronunciation that I'm not quite getting. James Valentgoed can make you like any food. So you know how people don't like some foods. I don't like a lot of foods. I hate that I don't like a lot of foods. I don't eat cheese. People are like, what? Yes, I eat it on pizza, but I don't know why, and I won't eat on anything else. I don't like cheese. I wish I liked cheese, only so that people would stop saying, how could you not like cheese? I can't help it. I put it in my mouth. I don't like it. I don't like fish. I want to like fish. There's lots of good things about fish. Can't stand it. But James, he can make you like it. He can, you know, it will twist whatever is in you that isn't working to make you appreciate that. And then you can go out to any restaurant and just order whatever, and you don't have to worry that there's going to be like some kind of weird mushroom in it that makes it inedible, or like the people who can't deal with cilantro, they can go to any Mexican place. And wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't you like every food? I watch Top Chef and I think, oh man, I don't want to eat any of that. And I wish I did. Well, James comes around. He's going to fix that problem for me right quick. So thanks to the patrons who picked the pick and the people who donated a $5 or higher level and got their powers. It is still fun to do that, and there are plenty of those left. I think I'm not going to go over this week, because otherwise I'm going to fall asleep and it's not going to work. Let's finish the show. I stuck in a bunch of emails here because I figured I wouldn't be able to go on super long. Rashad asks, this is deep. It's very deep, Rashad. If you lived in the Marvel or DC universe, would you still believe in God, or would you try to become one? I feel like there's a couple of options that are left off here. You're making an assumption, for one thing. I do think it's a really interesting question, because there is religion and there's faith in these places, and every once in a while, a writer will come along and try to bridge those gaps. You know, so you've got Matt Murdock, and he is deeply Catholic, and yet he has, you know, he's dealt with Mephisto. I guess that would make you more Catholic. I'm not really sure. You have gods. You have actual gods, and then it sort of makes you think, well, what does that mean? There's God, and then there's gods, and all these things. And I actually always really liked that as an aspect of a universe like that, because to me, I would go, well, it's almost like it would make you believe more, because you're seeing that all this other stuff is happening, but it would change your idea about it. I don't know. I can't imagine if you saw superpowered beings and you saw alien races and other sorts of things that you would be able to move forward with the same conception of how we think of a deity. I would not want to become a god. That sounds like an awful lot of responsibility. And if not responsibility, then hubris. And I think I would screw that up. I mean, we don't need to add limitless power to this ego. I think that'd be a bad thing. What if all shows were me just talking all the time? That's what it would be like if I was a god. Matt in Miami says, is a longer one. The next one's even longer though. Which hero has the most inconsistency in power without a canonical reason? So for example, exempting the disappearance of Green Lantern's vulnerability to yellow, because that's a whole long story. Right, so they took away his vulnerability to yellow, so that's an example of the inconsistency in power. I'd also exempt the extreme cases that are just impossible to calibrate. It's weird that Superman can sometimes push a planet off its orbit and sometimes trade punches with a baddie. Hulk and Thor seem to hit a similar paradox for story reasons, fine. For my money, you'd have to go with Batman, who could sometimes stand up against cosmic-level forces and sometimes struggle against Harley Quinn. If this still matters, I haven't been thinking about it that long at all. I wish I'd read that in the beginning. I'd have just stopped this then. Just in the last few months. Okay, that's good. It seems like Bruce Wayne can't sneeze without spraying another non-meta with godlike training. I don't know what that means. I know what you're saying, and I think that is one of those things. I think you're going to put the Back to the Future rule on that. The Back to the Future rule is don't start to examine it or it falls apart. Just have fun with it. Unless you're examining it and poking at the holes of sort of the thing makes it more fun for you. I think that's possible. Like, if you can examine, you say, well, how come Superman can do this and this? And like Superman's power is limitless, and as much as it needs to be for a given story. And I think that you actually mentioned this, and I think this just has to apply to everybody, is that, okay, if the Flash is so fast, then what can't he do? And the answer is, like, nothing. And at the same time, like, if he was so fast, he probably couldn't really interact with the rest of humanity. Same thing with Superman. Like, if they can do everything and anything, it changes everything. So don't think about it so much. I think that's my piece that I have made with it. Because you can just, like, as soon as the powers get up to a certain point, you know, that just, it becomes hard to get a hold on. If you're so strong that you can create a black hole, then, you know, like, anything can happen. Then you have the lower ones that get kind of weird. Spider-Man's one that is super inconsistent because, and I remember the Handbook to the Marvel Universe, he was the class, whatever the class was, he could lift 10 tons. That was like his level. And I feel like that's all over the place. And I was also thinking the fact that, like, Spider-Man doesn't seem to crawl walls anymore. I couldn't think. I see him stick to the sides of things every once in a while, or stand on the side of a wall, but like, it's not like a power base that seems to get used all that often. He's always swinging around or fighting with people or whatever, but there's not much wall crawling anymore. But again, he's up and down, like, and he gets beat up a lot. So, like, he's super strong, but he's not He's not indestructible. Or if you're super strong, does that mean your muscle density is thicker, so therefore you are more indestructible? I never know how that works, because he should be able to get hurt as much as anybody else. He would be just as soft, you know, but he takes it pretty good. So maybe he's a higher metabolism. I don't know. But those are the kind of things that I think about. It doesn't bother me. It's almost fun. I think that should be part of the fun. For this last email, to bring it home, John's John's taking it to me. Let's go through. This is the part where I read it in John's voice. He says, "I look forward to your spirited, well-informed discussions, and generally, there's your clue. There's a great balance of viewpoints, and it seems you all generally have the philosophy that while you will certainly call out things that are poorly thought out, written, drawn, colored, etc., overall, it's more productive conversation to not focus solely on the negative. With that said, man, Josh, this is for me. It felt like the whole Black Widow film discussion devolved into you aggressively pissing." Oh, I get that you have to pee, but why are you aggressively peeing? No, it was you aggressively pissing on any positive observations about the film that Connor, Paul, and Mike were working to bring a different viewpoint to about it without getting immediately shit on. By the time we got to the exchange about kids not buying their own clothes, and then we got to you saying something old mine would, to the observation that no kids would be kicking and screaming being taken to a Guardians movie, I had to stop listening to the episode. Note, I don't remember what he's talking about. And my kids are weird. It's a strange thing to be a longtime listener. We know full well that our connection to you both is pretty much one way, and while you both yourselves, there's an on version of you that must have developed at the start, is evolved over time. Please know this email is sent with respect and affection for you both and the breathtaking amount of content you blah, 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 blah. I hesitate to even write it, frankly, since everyone's allowed an off day, and maybe my perception of the discussion was colored by my own stuff. That's the thing, right? It could be you. It could be me. It's likely somewhere in the middle. Then I just hope everything is okay, and I look forward to continuing listening as long as you're willing to podcast. All right. I'm not going to ever defend myself because I don't need to. It's totally a thing that what you're listening to, but it's funny because you heard a different conversation than the one that I think I had. Because the conversation I think that I had about the Black Widow movie was one in which the people that I was listening to really wanted to like something that was not mediocre. It was better than mediocre, but it wasn't superb. And I really wanted to watch something superb. So I wasn't willing to give points to something that was okay. That was pretty good. You can have pretty good points. You can't have excellent points. At the same time, you know, I had expectations. Not that I thought it was going to be really great, but I wanted it to be really great because I really wanted that experience. But we all gave it the same rating. All of us. We all said it was exactly as good as the other. So what you're talking about and saying I'm pissing over everything or shitting on because because I'm horrible with my pissing and shitting. Everybody knows that about me. You know, that's me poking at things trying to understand. And what's really nice to me is that after all of this time, nothing that takes place in those conversations is taken personally. Like, I remember in the old days when Connor and I would disagree about something, like, we'd almost get kind of pissy with each other. It does not happen anymore. And he's really sure about what he thinks, and I'm really sure about what I think, and we have this nice balance that gets to go on. And, you know, Paul and Mike didn't disagree with me. They didn't. No one did. And I guess I'm being, you know, the voice of, I know how I come. Listen, I know what I'm like. You could ask my wife what I'm like. Like, I poke at things. I dissect them. I try to figure out if something is original and interesting or if something is tired or, you know, when people say, hey, that's pretty good. And I'm like, yeah, but is that good enough? You know, like, or is at least, is that make it interesting? Still could make it fine, but it doesn't make it like stand out. And I want something that stands out. But that's just how I go after things. So I think you're reading more into it. I think one thing that people do is they want to like a thing, and maybe they even do like a thing, and then it gets taken personally when another person doesn't like it, or it feels like they're trying too hard not to like it. I am usually trying to understand. we have when reading media, when talking about any of these things, you have a base feeling. You come out of a thing, you go, I liked that. I didn't like that. I think I liked that. I wanted to like it, whatever. And everything that follows that, everything this show is about, everything I'm talking about now is the idea of trying to understand what that is. That's why I do this. That's why we talk about these things. Like, so it's interesting to have you can have your feeling, I liked that. And then the next question is, well, why did I like that? Or why did I not like that? Or what is about it? And that allows you to understand the things that you're seeing in the future, to be able to understand, you know, A, what to look for, and just understanding like what it is that tickles your happy spot. And, you know, to me, you know, that's kind of the joy. I hope that no one listened to that review and it's like, oh man, he was trying so hard not to like it. But it's not what it was at all. It was poking at it. It was saying, well, what about this? I got this feeling about this. And, I'm just telling you what I thought. I'm never going to be negative for no reason. Those are the things that I thought. And I don't think I was, I don't think I was out of line. I don't think I was off. Again, we all gave it the same review. And it is a subjective thing. I am super nitpicky about movies, like more than comics almost, because, the comics, at least, I have a different kind of love for. I don't know what I'm talking about. But like, I'm annoying to watch TV with, because you think I'm bad with comics. I'm worse with TV and movies. I really am. It's terrible. So most people would not want to sit around and talk about movies with me. I know that as a thing. Anyway, I am not mad at you, John. I think you were perfectly valid. I think that you had a feeling and you're trying to poke around and understand that. You were listening to the thing. You couldn't deal with it. These things were getting you and you're like, I can't listen to the rest of this anymore. I got to come back another time. Dude, I think you and I are simpatico right now. That's what I think is happening. So, you know, it's totally about where you're coming from. And we all gave it the same rating. And I think that that is fascinating. If you want to write into this show, you can write to contact@ifanboy.com. You keep it. These were longer emails, and I did them because I got to choose. You want to try to keep it kind of short, though, because it reads better. You can also send in media spilled emails. Those are coming. I can see them. We just did a whole sort of mailbag episode, which was really fun. So send those in as well. If you have a media spilled question for our other show, which is about things not comics, then just mark it media spilled and the subject line, and we'll know. But there's not just this show. There's other things that we have going on. There is available, there's a Booksplode, which is Injustice Gods Among Us. That was a one. There are other podcasts that we do. There's that Black Widow special edition we were just talking about. There's a special edition of Batman the Long Halloween Part 1 where the iFanboy Animation Brain Trust got together. There is that Media Splow, the mailbag episode where we just answered a lot of questions that people sent in. That's up there. There was the last Media Splode, which wasn't that long ago. It was number 15. We talked about Mythic Quest Season 2 and Star Wars novels. There was the Booksplode, number 43, Injustice Gods Among Us, Year 1, The Complete Collection. I owe you a Talksplode in July, and it's not looking good. Right now, I'm not getting the kind of responses I'm used to, but I'm also trying to find somebody who's interesting to talk to that I haven't talked to before. So working on it. There will be a Media Splode coming up where we are going to talk about Abraham Reisman's book, True Believer, The Rise and Fall of Stan Lee. It is a prose book. We've never done that before, but it is a fascinating and very integral part of comic book history. And I think people should read that book. I've read it. We've enjoyed it. We're going to record that show and send it out to you soon. That will be good. So get that done and you can follow along. And so those shows are there. You can find all those and other things at ifanboy.com. There's all of the shows we ever did. If you click on the little podcast nav at the top, you'll see just a whole lot of things that we did. We even have word balloons on there from when we used to host John Suntress's Word Balloon. That's there still. Lots of interviews there. It's a oral history of comic book delight. You can follow us at ifanboy. At ifanboy. Facebook.com/iFanboy, @iFanboy on Twitter, @iFanboyComics on Instagram. You can find out what the pick of the week is before the show comes out by going to those places. You can follow myself and Connor individually on Instagram @CSGoPatrick or @JAFlanagan. You can subscribe to our YouTube page, channel, like, and subscribe, all that. There are shows we have, we have the Darwin Cook, episode 135 at the San Diego Comic Book Convention. I see a still of Ron and Darwin sitting there, I think in his hotel room. We were talking about Parker. iFanboy Mini 66, books we love. And I was talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. And that is the series that sort of the movie was mostly spawned from, which is kind of cool. And the other show is number 136, which is pick of the week number 200. We're on 780 now, if that tells you where we're talking about. And it's live from Jim Hanley's universe, I believe, now that I'm looking at it. And that is cool. We did live shows in comic shops. That was really fun. And there were people there. And that was awesome. What a good memory I have of that. And thanks to everybody who came to that or have watched them or whatever. So those are the things over at youtube.com/iFanboy. We're putting those all up. We're getting through them. If you like this show, you can write a review or leave a star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever. Spotify, Amazon, there's Audible, I think. A bunch of Audible and Amazon are the same. I know that, you know that. Let's just get out of the way. Let's not fool ourselves. Anyway, the places where you do podcasts, you can do that. That's always helpful. Tell your people, tell folks, find some folks, let them know if it's a thing that they might want. Don't bug them if they're not going to want it. Like, your grandma doesn't care. You don't have to tell her. Connor will never let me say that, but it's true. Like, you don't tell your mom. She doesn't care, but we're going to keep saying that. You are the folks who make that happen. The street team. You are our marketing budget is almost nothing. In fact, when I say almost nothing, what I mean to say is our marketing budget is nothing. Our advertisement budget is even lower than that. And that is all I have. I cannot keep talking. And you should be glad about that. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for coming here. I hope that this was a fun diversion from what it is we normally do. I hope I didn't go between things too often, because I'm not charming like Jeff Goldblum. I can't sell that like he can. It's not my thing. I'm not going to be able to do that. But I really do have fun doing this every once in a while. Emphasis on every once in a while. Every couple of years, I think I can handle it. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Josh. With any luck, Connor will be back here next week. And I can have someone else to lean on, because that was a lot easier.